Thank you for listening to the Weekly Market Outlook. It is our pleasure to bring an industry-leading market analyst to provide you with the most value possible in your farm business. Please reach out anytime by emailing cbaron@agviewsolutions.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the AgView Pitch. We are heading into a new month, the month of June, and a lot of times we get to see some excitement in that month. And today we have with us Clark Naber. Clark, how's it going?
I'm doing very well, Chris. Happy Memorial Day weekend to you.
Yeah, same to you. We appreciate all the efforts from our military and the sacrifices and the things that a lot of people do for our freedom.
Absolutely. Sometimes we take those things a little bit for granted, which is bad, but it's definitely the things we've been through in the last 14 months, if you will. We need to remember what those folks have done when we think things are bad right now. So
that's for sure. There's a lot of people that have done a lot of stuff for us to be able to get to do the fun things we get to do in our careers. That's right. So hey, let's get into discussing the markets here. Speaking of fun things, or I don't know if that's a fun thing or not, but we're going to find out here from you today, I guess. I wanted to start out with China. You know, we've seen a lot in the last couple of weeks discussion about what's going on, you know, these excess purchases and then the fear of cancellations and all that. I'm just going to, you know, throw the word China out there in demand, and then I'm going to back up and have you give us your two cents on kind of what's going on there and what we need to be, as farmers, what's the perspective we need to have? What do we need to be watching?
Sure, and that's been the headline since basically last July to some degree, as we've changed the whole dynamics of the ag sector and the demand sector and the tight stocks. That's been the driving force, this demand pull market, again, as you mentioned, led by China. So, the bean purchases, first of all, pretty dramatic, you know, record bean exports this year. We've executed most of those beans in regard to moving them overseas as far as an old crop scenario. And we're more used to that, I guess, is what I'm trying to say from the standpoint of the market. We're on corn, this current year old crop, if you will, the million tons, you know, you're kind of getting in that 22 to 24 million metric ton exports to China and corn this year. Keep in mind, Chris, the most we've ever done previous to that is like 5, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's a dramatic shift in that. So in reference in corn, what you're talking about over the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks, if you will, we've seen a big spike in purchases, record pace for new crop corn, which is approximately 12 to 14 million metric ton already in the books for next year, which is encouraging going forward and something that the USDA is going to have to be cognizant of when they put their S&Ds together. So I think big picture, obviously China's always kind of a mystery. And so was this past year a one-off thing on corn, and we go back to normal or not? And what we've seen the last couple, 3 weeks, I think that's encouraging going forward, that this isn't a short-term scenario. Now, you could argue, is this part of the phase one or the trade agreements and wrapped up into all that? That's obviously a possibility of trying to meet some of those standards. We've also seen record beef and pork exports in the last year or so into China. The pork exports have slowed down some as their herds build back up, but the beef exports have been impressive. We've seen some ethanol purchases over the last several months. So China continues to be the driving force. Now, you mentioned, you know, cancellations or rolling of some old crop into new crop. We may see some of that. The folks we talk to that have good contacts in China, don't feel we'll see much in regard to cancellations. If it is, it's small, privately owned feed mills, et cetera, that may cancel some purchases possibly. Sinograin, Kafco, your big government arms trying to rebuild the stocks, most feel they are not going to see any cancellations. Now, in regards to, you know, rolling some of these purchases into new crop, that's always a possibility. A lot of that depends on logistics and the ability to get all this shipped. We're on a very extensive program right now in the export sector to get that stuff moved out. We're seeing at or near a record pace, I should say, for the balance of the summer to meet the USDA projections. But so far, so good. Generally, we've had a few hiccups in regards to movement on the river and access and so on, or rail. But all in all, it seems to be going fairly well. So bottom line, the China story is still supportive, still positive. You always just kind of hold your breath thinking, you know, something going to change. But at this point, things have progressed really well, especially on these new crop corn purchases. Now, new crop bean purchases so far are good, but not to the extent from a percentage standpoint that the corn has been at this point. But keep in mind, their focus right now in the world marketplace as far as supply of beans is out of Brazil.
On the soybean side of it, it's more of a stay tuned, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because it's, like you said, the noise and the excitement's been in the corn, but, you know, with South America and everything, it's soybeans will get its turn.
Yeah, we're not really competitive in the world market till you get out in that late fall or winter time frame again, right, in that regard. So, yeah.
So the last time we talked, the market conditions were significantly different than they are now. We've settled back quite a bit since last time I spoke with you and you were on the AgView pitch here. Talk a little bit about May versus now and kind of some of the things that we're seeing and what's that mean as we move forward?
Well, I think the big thing is we went through in most of April, well, all of April, I should say, in the first week plus of May, one of the most unprecedented rallies we've ever seen in the market, especially corn, for that time of year. Very unprecedented. When you look typically back at seasonalities, and we can touch base with this as we get talking a little more specifically on new crop. Well, as in our mindset, think, you know, June or maybe July is kind of a key time for market seasonalities or topping action. So during the month of May, believe it or not, corn's actually down a little bit for the entire month. The high earlier this month were priced 75 to 90 cents off the highs in corn from early this month. Beans virtually unchanged on the month, on the old crop. New crop's up maybe 30 cents. And you're 90 cents to $1.20 off those earlier highs in May. So going forward from a perspective of the board, both old crop and new crop, can we go achieve those new highs or test those highs again at some point? The answer to that, obviously, is what's the weather going to do in the next 45 days? But getting back to what's changed, I think, in the last 30 days, specifically is the bean market. So basis levels since the first of the month, and I just like using like three locations as benchmarks for basis. Here in Cedar Rapids or Eastern Iowa, we're down roughly 45 cents in bean basis since the beginning of the month. Decatur, Illinois, more of an eastern crusher market, is down 50-plus cents on bean basis in the last 30 days. Even the river, based on that off of St. Louis, is down roughly 30 cents. So we've seen a pretty substantial break in bean basis over the last 30 days. So what's behind that? As mentioned earlier, the export program's winding down, so we're not seeing as much activity on the river. As far as the crusher, the fear 60 days ago, 90 days ago, are we going to be able to get to new crop with the supply needs we have? All of a sudden, it feels like like the crusher or the market is a lot more comfortable with the potential supply going forward at this point. Not to say things still could get tight late summer, but that basis is telling us something. You know, the talk of importing beans has diminished a lot to some degree in the last 30 days. We're going to see some going into the East Coast, but the key things is bean basis has dropped a lot on old crop, but I think that's kind of a driving force looking forward if you're looking at demand being the key driver. And we've also seen the spread soften some. So, and in the we do a little thing each week called the bump report. We put some scenarios in there with potential bean supply going forward into the 21-22 crop. You can kind of come up with scenarios, especially with this early planted bean crop, assuming, you know, yield situations where maybe you get 250 plus carry out on beans going forward. If that's the case, I'm not saying that's super bearish going forward, but it's something to watch that may keep, you know, hesitancy from the bean market to rally much, and or looking at basis levels as we go through the balance of the summer into fall. Quickly on corn, on the other side of the coin, last 30 days, the one thing that's kind of changed is ethanol margins continue to improve. We're seeing, oh gosh, best levels we've seen in 5+ years. Some of that's consumption of gas as the economy opens back up. Vegetable oil demand, which throws into corn oil, has been really good. So that scenario is strong. So corn basis is steady, if not better, especially in the Western Belt, where a lot of the ethanol producers are. You get the Eastern Corn Belt indicator. We're down maybe 10, 15 cents in the last month on basis, but not substantial. And the river market's pretty flat because it just continues to need to have that pull. So the corn demand's still very strong. Bean demand is starting to show some signs of some softness over the last 30 days.
This is Alyssa with the AgView Solutions team. Here at AgView Solutions, we work with farms and ag businesses all across the country on cost of production, business decision making, collaboration opportunities, farm and ag business structuring, and transition planning. We work with operations of all sizes to help you with the important decisions that need to be made in your business. If you have questions or would like to learn more about how we can help your farm and business, please email us at cbaron@agviewsolutions.com. And thank you for listening.
Okay, so let's carry that information into new crop. And we talked offline a little bit. We just don't have very many clients left that have enough to really spend much time on talking old crop other than, sure, you know, the basis. And you know, so as we look forward into new crop sales, what does this all mean for new crop? And if we do see some price strength here in the next few weeks or something, or you get something to feed the bull a little bit here on the basis side of things, what should we be watching for? Should we be locking any basis at any point? Should we just be, you know, continuing with some hedge to a rise, which I know a lot of people have been doing that, or a little bit of, you know, setting a floor with several different, you know, strategies. But, you know, what's your thought as we move forward here, taking advantage of some opportunities and keeping an eye on basis?
Sure. So just kind of as a benchmark, we talked to a lot of commercial elevators in the Midwest, and I would say as of right now, percentage sales, and this is kind of a broad number, Chris, both corn and beans with a slightly bigger percentage to beans, 20-25% of the new crop has been priced. Most of that was sold, believe it or not, as we look back at hedges when the commercials put this in place. Most of that new crop was sold probably back in January and February. Since then, new crop sales have kind of diminished a little bit as we got in that big steep part of the rally. Farmer kind of slowed things down. Okay. So now you go into this important June timeframe where seasonally you look at highs. I mean, you look at a 15-year, 30-year seasonality chart. Typically, you know, and these are always round numbers, the high in the corn market tends to be middle of June. The high in the bean market tends to be late June, early July. So we're definitely in that big window from a seasonality standpoint. And again, we just got back from, you know, we've sold off of this pretty unprecedented rally in April and May. So going forward in the new crop, just from a board perspective initially, I think, you know, as far as adding sales, you know, you work with guys in regard to the returns. I think that's important to watch to keep that discipline and just pick some spots, maybe pick some dates or pick some price goals. Have those offers in place, whether it's a hedge or a hedge to arrive or whatever product you're trying to do to lock futures in. Have those in stone, in place. When you have a market that moves like this last week where you're limit up and limit down the same week on corn, if you don't have those offers in place, you could very easily miss that opportunity. From a price perspective on corn, December corn has spent an entirety of 6 days above $6. We closed 5 days, so earlier this month. I know that's probably a goal guys have in their mind, and that's fine. But I think there's some selling points between here and there, especially with kind of returns we're looking at. So set some date goals. Maybe it's the 10th and the 20th, and kind of step into these sales. It's an important time of year, especially as the crop starts to mature and have some hopefully better feel on what kind of bushels are out in the country or out in the field as far as adding new returns. So corn, I would be more apt to say at this point, just locking in hedges or hedge to arrives or whatever works, using some puts possibly in the option market to set a floor, especially on bushels that producers may be uncomfortable to sell based on production. Beans on the other side of the coin, we have some pretty, I would call them, decent basis levels at harvest time for what we typically see, better than corn at this point. If I had to move bushels at harvest time because of space needs, on-farm needs, et cetera, I'd be more apt to lock in beans just in the cash market because the basis levels are pretty decent, especially in the export trade. So I think that is where I would lean right now as far as if I had to make cash sales, just outright cash sales. Mm-hmm. I would think I'd look at cash on beans at this point, just based on where the basis levels are and what they're telling us today from an historical standpoint. Corn on the other side, I think there's opportunities down the road on basis, especially with this export trade we've seen on the books from China here over the last couple, 3 weeks.
There's no carry in the soybeans either. That kind of makes it tough right. to put stuff away and not get paid for it. So.
Correct. You have a tiny bit of carry in the corn market. It's nothing that jumps out at a person, but yeah, you're still inverted in beans. We saw this same scenario last summer on the beans, you know, with an inverted market. But again, you kind of have to look and say, all right, what's the market telling me to do? You know, I'm saying sell cash beans if I need to make that adjustment as far as on farm needs and space. Beans seem to make more sense to move to town at harvest time as we speak here today.
So one of the things before I ask you a final question that is a takeaway for me for that, and see if you have any comments on that real quick here, but you know, it's as basic as what I'm going to say here, and this is what we preach all the time and what we, you know, we get a phone call and, you know, somebody's on the fence, you know, wondering, you know, should I plug some more sales in on a rally and that kind of thing. And it really does come down to the way we look at it. There's three key things. The first one is do your math, right? Sit down. This is a great time of year. You know, you're settled on seed expenses. You should be wrapping up eventually here as you kind of figure out where your crop protection expenses are. Dial some of those expenses in a little bit closer and your fertility and everything, we really have a really good handle on what we've spent on this crop and what we may have yet to. And so we can set a margin target, right? We can say, okay, this is where we want to be on a profitability standpoint. The next thing is the timing of those sales is figuring out from a cash flow perspective, okay, I'm going to need money here, here, and here. And, you know, look at that timing and see if you can align some of those things with the market. If you can't, maybe the money comes in a little sooner. It never hurts to have cash, right? And then the last thing is what you said, Clark, I think is awesome, and I think we need to be saying it more often, is put some offers in, because like you said, this thing moves around here. You know, historically, June and July have been the time to make sales, and usually you have about 5 minutes to do it. And so, you know, I think those are kind of our three key things that we look at. And then the last thing I would say too, and I had mentioned this on another podcast, and then I'll shut up for a second and get your take on these three things. And then this last thing though, comment on making sure that you look at your contracts for your supplier, where stuff's going, align those contracts, make sure you document those things on your own spreadsheet or on your own system. With Profit Manager, we have that system where you plug in every sale so you can see what it is as a percent, what it is on bushels, so that you can look at the contract number, make sure your contract numbers and your totals align with where you're making your sales. So there's not any surprises when you get busy. So I'm going to be quiet for a second. Any other things besides those kind of three key things that you guys are watching or that you would throw out there for perspective, Clark?
Well, I think those are really good. One thing I always, over the years, have used is kind of the three R's of marketing is risk, reward, and responsibility. So your risk reward is self-explanatory to some degree. That's where your math and knowing your targets and your prices and, again, having those offers in place. And also the timing kind of ties in with that. Responsibility is, you know, take responsibility for your decisions. I mean, using your profit manager, whatever, to help make those decisions, but it's still your responsibility to pull the trigger and know what's going to work and stay disciplined with that. The other thing I would, you know, say, and again, getting back to having these offers in place, I think that's really important because we're going to run into a time, I'm not sure we've seen all the volatility max that we're going to see. I mean, as we progress through the summer, I mean, I'm just looking at, for example, I'm looking at the 7-day precip maps this morning, and the upper Midwest and the, you know, northern plains look fairly dry, and the temperatures are starting to warm up. I guess it's getting summertime, right? So that's going to add to the volatility, you know, as we go back and forth on each weather forecast. So again, have those offers in place. The other thing, what we've been doing in our office to some degree too, is looking at, it just puts on new crop, whether it's corn or beans, instead of going all the way out to December and November, respectively, on corn and beans with puts. There's the short-dated puts that you can use that have a shorter window through the end of July or into June or however you want to tie those in to get you through key time frames and making decisions. I think that's important to kind of sometimes keep those decisions a little more in front of you versus having puts long term. And I don't want to go into detail on that, but I think those are good tools also, especially on bushels that maybe a guy's a little uncomfortable selling cash or maybe doing an HTA on, just from a production concern standpoint at some point once they get to a level, you know, percentage wise of sales. Don't want to breach much above that. Those are good tools to have in place too. So again, it's just, I think what you do, Chris, with the three things you talked about and just kind of putting a risk reward in all those factors is really key. And we're in a critical time of year to make those decisions.
Yeah, and a lot of times we have to continually recalibrate our thinking too, because, you know, that volatility can kind of mess with your mind a little bit. And then I think too, you talked about a lot of sales being made back in January and February, and I think there's still a lot of sales, you know, for quite a while there. Every sale we made looked like a bad sale when the market continued to go higher, and then we got to be awakened or whatever, you know, the market adjusted and, you know, like I said, we came back down, and you take a knock a bunch off the market again, then it can gives you an opportunity to recalibrate and say, okay, these are still really good prices. There's a lot of things we can do, and still we have a really good margin. And so it's a good problem to have, but sometimes it's just hard to make decisions here. Okay. So my last question for you is, on 22, if we see strength coming in the 21 and we have some targets that are getting hit there, do you see, you know, because we've rolled some 22 ahead, we're, you know, and before I'll have you answer this, I'll just throw out there right now, we're seeing about a 50 cent per bushel price increase on our early, and this obviously will ebb and flow, but currently right now we're seeing about a 50 cent cost production price increase, both a little bit estimated and a little bit actual. On corn, we're seeing about $1 per bushel price cost increase on soybeans. What's your thought on 22? Do you dip your toe a little bit? I know we've got some clients that are already 10% sold on 22. You know, when we were kind of at those high levels, I was getting a few phone calls of guys making sales. So last question, 22, what's your thought on a rally?
You know, I think your folks that have 10% sold, you know, i.e. dipping your toe in the water, I think is probably a good idea. Especially if the values work and running through the numbers you're talking about, this kind of impressive increases on production. But I think we all know and assume that's going to take place. Mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't get, very aggressive getting much more than 20% sold out in that, 22 crop. Historically, I'm not one that likes to get carried away making multi-year sales. A lot of times those can be, even in these kind of an inverted market, can be kind of tough to ride through from time to time. The key, though, I would say is this. Even though, you look at corn, for example, 22 December corn is about a 60 cent discount to the December of 21. Even though that's that much of a discount, make sure you're making sales against the 22 and not the 21, and trying to, I'll sell 21 and the idea that'll be a 22. That's kind of a dangerous mode, especially mm-hmm. the type of market we're in right now. So stay very disciplined.
Don't get fancy.
Yes, stay very disciplined. That is the key thing, I would say. I've been doing this business a long time, and I've seen times in the past where somebody, as you say, gets fancy or gets a little cute with the market, and those things can come back and haunt you, i.e. Hedge 2 arrives back in 1996 and those kind of things. So, I think that makes sense. I think it's good you have guys looking that far out, seeing where their goals are, and if the dollars match up, it sure doesn't hurt to start locking some of that in.
You bet. So, Clark, I think this is a good place to wrap up. I think we kind of hit most of the spokes in the wheel. And if somebody wants to get a hold of you because they are thinking of a question we didn't hit on or whatever, and want to give you a call and just kind of talk with you one-on-one, what's the best way to reach you?
Well, I can either call the office, and it's 319-362-2325. Email is clark@biscommodities.com, or the website just biscommodities.com. And yeah, if anybody wants to call and visit, we'd be more than happy to myself or one of us in the office to chat. So that'd be great.
That'd be good. Hey, Clark, I really appreciate your time today. Thanks a lot for participating.
Thank you, Chris. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, we will. And again, Clark Neighbor at BIS Commodities in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. If you've got questions, feel free to reach out to him. And everybody, we really want to thank you for listening. And if you got questions or any crop updates or anything, again, reach out to us if you'd like to be on and give us an update so the listeners can kind of hear what's going on. And we want to get a few more of those out here in the next week or two. And then also we'll be coming with some podcasts on the economy too. We've got a couple of those lined up for the next couple of weeks. So again, everybody, thanks for listening. We will catch you again next time on the AgView Pitch.